Our panel, we've Minister of State with Responsibility for Trade and Development, Joe Costolo, Independent TD for Dublin South, Shane Ross, Pat Leahy, Deputy Editor and Political Editor with the Sunday Business Post, and Niamh Lyons, Political Correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. We're going to start today with a story that has gathered steam over the last few days, and it reached boiling point in the Clarion Hotel in Limerick last night. It concerns the resignation of the Arts Director from the Limerick City of Culture Board, along with two senior programmers. Now, the City of Culture project was granted funding of €6 million in the budget last year. That's public money. The CEO is Patricia Ryan, who was appointed without a public competition. She was previously an advisor to Pat Cox, who is chairman of Limerick City of Culture. The arts director, Carl Wallace, resigned, saying he was pushed off the gangplank in the Independent today. And there are also claims that the City of Culture programme for the year is in chaotic disarray. Let's get a flavour of the meeting last night. First, here's the chairman, Pat Cox.
It is, in my view, a serious bump on the road and one that we will need to negotiate, but still accompanied by an appeal to make sure that we don't lose sight of the fact that we still have a unique and wonderful road ahead of us.
Tom Prendergast is a local writer and artist. He objects to the involvement of the Limerick City manager and the CEO of the City of Culture project.
The City of Culture is going to go on, but as long as Pat Cox, Patricia Ryan and Con Murray's names are attached to it, I'm not happy at all. At all.
And finally, here's the CEO, Patricia Ryan, speaking last night. She's defending her position.
I've come back to work on this project. I would very much like to continue working on it. I have never claimed to have an artistic or a cultural background. My job is not to provide the artistic direction. The artistic director provides the artistic
song
direction.
Song lyrics.
That's Patricia Ryan there. Well, Tim O'Connor is a member of the Limerick City of Culture Board and former chairman of The Gathering and joins us on the line from Limerick now. Tim, that sounded pretty heavy going last night. What was the atmosphere of that meeting?
Thanks, Lara, and congratulations, by the way, to yourself, and welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was there with the other members of the board, with Chairman Pat Cox and Patricia Ryan and the team. It was a powerful occasion. There's no point in saying otherwise. It was raw, it was hard talking, it was straight, it was tough, and it was searingly honest. And it was a very powerful exercise in people speaking passionately about what they believe in, and it was some tough things to hear for the board. Let's be straight about that. It was, and I think there are lessons to be learned. We have to. What Pat Cox said at the end is that we will take that away. Now we will reflect hard on what we were told last night and what we heard last night. And the anger that was in the room. And
but Tim, you're very experienced. I mentioned your former chair of The Gathering, and you've been involved in so many other projects as well over the years. I mean, it's not the time to be learning lessons. You're in the City of Culture now, and it does sound as though it's a right mess.
Well, I mean, thanks, Dare. Well, I suppose I was chairman of The Gathering. We had our own challenges at the start of that project as well. And I mean, I think that the context here is that this is the first time there's been a national City of Culture. Limerick has the privilege to be the first national City of Culture project. So there was no blueprint, no compass points as to how this was to get done. Secondly, because it was going to be a national City of Culture project, of course, the scale was bigger than what would normally happen in projects of this kind. So that meant that the funding for it wasn't going to be available from existing resources, given the reality of budgets at the moment.
So we basically had to wait
for a budget of the scale. And by the way, we're thrilled with the scale of the budget.
The six million,
yeah, which is a huge sum, and we very much recognise that. But that, as you know, didn't come until October. So we were, it was quite a challenge, therefore, as the people who have to do the first one, that we had to wait for our budget until a couple of months before the project was due to begin. And yet, at the same time, we had to make preparations, in the run-up to that, without actually knowing precisely what we had. Just in terms of accountability and public, we had to be very, very careful. So there was a degree of rock and hard place going on in terms of preparations for that.
But you did appoint Patricia Ryan as CEO, and her salary has been mentioned widely. Indeed, she was being paid €700 a day as a consultant, I understand, before her appointment as CEO. Why was she appointed to the job?
Well, I think that she was appointed by the city manager, city and county manager, Con Murray.
Was that the right way to do it,
Well, Con himself has been out there saying, in fact, you know, that if he had different circumstances, he would have much preferred to do it differently and with process. But for the reasons I've just been describing, he found himself with the clock ticking down towards the start of the year and, you know, a whole set of challenges still to be put in place. I mean, the kind of ambition that we have for Limerick, and we're very ambitious in Limerick, the kind of ambition we have is going to require large-scale projects which require planning with people who have a lot of other things going on as well. You need to be able to make commitments to those. You need to be able to get the structures right, get the contracts right, get
okay,
the organisation right.
Okay, all right. So you're talking about getting the structures right and getting the contracts right, but you can't even go through proper procedure to appoint a CEO. You can understand why people will be worried.
Yes, as I say, and Con Murray has addressed that it was certainly not ideal, and there's nobody saying otherwise. But I think, as I say, what I'm trying to describe, we were faced with a situation where time was slipping away. We still didn't have our funding in place, and we needed to actually, you know, get down to the organisational pieces that had to be done. A process was gone through, not a full one that as I say, would be ideal, but a number of people were interviewed and canvassed, and Patricia Ryan emerged. And, she's a top class professional.
Okay, but there was no public competition, and as terrific as Patricia may be, she says herself she has no artistic experience, and surely you would need somebody with experience in culture of the arts to head up a project like this.
There's two separate pieces going on here, Claire. There's the in a project of this kind, obviously you've got the artistic direction, and that's the responsibility of the artistic director, who is responsible for the artistic program. But then there's a whole separate piece then around organisation, around budget, around operation of all of that, and that's normal. You'll find that in arts organisations around the country, where there's a division of labour between, if you like, the operation side of it and the budgetary side of it and the artistic programme and artistic direction.
So, Carl Wallace then, who was the artistic director, why do you understand he resigned?
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm very sorry that has come to pass. I've known Carl. I knew him in his previous work in Sheam, so he's a very fine person. But you know, what's slightly lost in here is that there's through his work and that of his colleagues, there's actually a terrific program already, you know, shaping up for the year ahead, thanks to his work. So I want to say that. I think part of it is got to do with the press that I was just describing there. I think there were challenges for all of us as a new project that hadn't existed before in a context where we were trying to, you know, get things together without yet precisely knowing what our budget was going to be.
He did an interview with the Irish Independent today, Tim, where he said that, you know, he had absolutely no communication. It had completely broken down with Patricia Ryan, and that was a huge problem, obviously, in trying to put together a programme of this size. Now, there is an issue there, isn't there? I mean, you're saying,
no,
you're commending
no
him,
there's
you're saying
no
that he's good at what he was
yes.
what he was employed
yes.
to do.
And we would have much preferred...
And you've lost him because there was a communication problem with the CEO.
Yeah, I've much preferred, Claire, I would say, I'm an admirer of his work, what he's done before, and we were delighted to get him. And he has done very fine work in getting us where we are. There have been issues here. I'm not going to get into the, you know, on the public airways and on a back and forth on what, but what I am saying to you is we very clearly have serious lessons that we have to learn. Now, we're trying to absorb those, we're listening to what we heard last night, very powerfully expressed and very passionately expressed by the arts community of Limerick, a brilliant community. And by the way, there was one other emotion in that room last night, and it was absolutely shared, which is an absolutely shared determination that this is going to be a great project for Limerick and for Ireland, because we're very conscious as well, this is not just about Limerick, this is National City of Culture. And can I just one other point?
Tim, this is very important, and I understand that you're trying to tell us how great this is going to be, but Carl Wallace says there are no particulars for the events, no specific dates, no venues, no box office, and only Riverdance is the confirmed event happening, and that would have been coming anyway, you could argue.
No, in fact, there are about 100 events already lined up for the first quarter of the year, and in fact, there are 109 projects in Limerick itself, 109 projects projects who have been approved for funding in Limerick. And Pat Cox, clearly last night, I'm saying it again, we've made an absolute commitment to that every one of those will be delivered. Now, of course, a challenge in terms of Carl and his colleagues resigning has left a big gap. Again, no denying that at all. And we are urgently, as we speak, about the business of addressing that now. But just to say that the programme for the year ahead, it's spectacular. And for the first quarter, starting in a couple of weeks' time with the world premiere of the Riverdance 20th anniversary tour.
Is there a box office?
Yes, that, in fact, I'm very pleased. And by the way, we did get, I know you're thinking about the start, we did actually get a great start on Tuesday night with New Year's Eve. The largest crowd in Limerick ever for a New Year's Eve festivity went off tremendously. So we actually got off to a great start on New Year's Eve.
And did Patricia Ryan organise that? Because Carl Wallace said that she wouldn't talk to him and he wasn't involved in organising it and he had to step back.
There was an events management team part of that, of the organisation of that on Tuesday night.
Events management company brought in to do it.
Yes, but again, there's a whole, because I mean, with the scale and range of things that have to be done, there's a division of labour that has to be done here.
But perhaps Tim, if there had been proper communication between the artistic director and the CEO, then money would not have had to have been spent on the events company, and Carl might have been able to organise that for you.
Well, I think you know that there are a thousand things to be done in a project of this scale, Claire. So we have to. It's absolutely normal that you have a whole range of capacity and resource that you have to bring in to support, you know, the actual contracted people doing the work.
Do you have confidence in Patricia Ryan to lead the Limerick City of Culture for the next 12 months?
I absolutely do. I mean, it is very difficult circumstances for her. There's no denying that. She was sitting there last night in the middle of all of that. She's a human being. She's a very good person. And she's got. And I think she's very, very good at what she does. But she makes no claim to be the artistic direction. Artistic space is a different responsibility. Her job is to deliver on the operational side of things, the contractual side, which all the, as she said herself, the boring tasks that have to be done in order that superb, you know, art can get put on for people to come and enjoy.
And you've made a commitment now that there will be members from the artistic community on the board.
We made two commitments last night. The chairman, Pat Cox, made two commitments. We're going to advertise now in very short order for expressions of interest for the post of artistic director, and we're going to appoint a number of additional people onto the board, including representatives from the arts community in Limerick, and that was a commitment last night.
Perhaps that should have been done from the get-go.
I said, Claire, we have lessons to learn, and we're absorbing them rapidly.
I mean, perhaps it looks, when you look at this in the round, what's happened over the last couple of weeks, that perhaps this is more of a commercial opportunity for Limerick to get people to visit, more of a tourism event rather than an arts and culture celebration.
I appreciate that, because I mean, we're hoping you'll come down yourself there. I mean, no, I think that Limerick is a proud place. We're also the home of Munster Rugby, although we didn't have a great night last night. Munster Rugby, we know that as they've often proved, you know, games are not won in the first few minutes; they're won in the last minute. So we've a long road ahead of us. We're determined it's going to be a tremendous year. That was an absolutely unified piece last night, and we hope that Ireland will come. And indeed, the wider world will come as well to see the fantastic things
okay,
that Limerick have to
offer. Tim, stay on the line because I want to bring in members of our panel now. Shane Ross is a member of the Public Accounts Committee. What do you think of what's happened so far, given that we've spent $6 million on this project?
I think it's deeply disappointing, and I think it's a shambles. I think it's extraordinary. I think you put your finger on it there, that there was a board of the Limerick City of Culture without any artists on it, without any people who knew anything about culture on the board. I don't know how many people were on the board. Maybe you could tell us that.
Shane, just to clarify, also on the board, in addition to Pat Cox, the chairman, and myself, is Paul O'Connell, but also Bill Whelan, who is, of course, the composer of Riverdance and one of our most distinguished composers, and also Orla McBride, who is the CEO of the Arts Council. She's there in a personal capacity.
And, were there any representatives of the Limerick artistic community?
Well, Bill Whelan is from Limerick.
Okay, because it says in the statement the board has decided to designate a number of representatives of Limerick artists and cultural
groups. I'm not denying, Shane. We have to this is what we have to do, what we're doing now. But I'm just saying that there were a number of people who are, and Bill Whelan himself issued a statement during the week saying that he saw his role as to bring artistic guidance as well. So it wouldn't be fair to say that there was nobody on the board.
Okay. It seems they were lacking enormously. The artistic community, which is the one community which is going to have the relevant input. And the other thing I seriously don't understand is why this, considering the links between Pat Cox and the appointee, why this wasn't put out to tender in the first place. I don't think the explanation is adequate, particularly as it's public money. And I can't understand why this wasn't done.
I was saying earlier, Con Murray, the city manager, has been out in public saying that this was certainly not an ideal way, and if he had the circumstances, otherwise he would have done it differently. But we were, as I explained, in the context of the clock ticking, and we still not having our budget, we had to move ahead with some of the organisational pieces. He did interview a number of people, and Patricia Ryan emerged at the top of that.
And now you're faced with a situation where you've got absolutely no director there, and the clock's ticking even faster, and you're going to have to have a public tender.
Thanks to his work, Shane, though, a big chunk of the programme is in place, not all by any means, and there's a lot to be done, but a large part of the programme is actually already in place.
When are you going to have an artistic director then? Now?
Well, as we're moving on it in the coming days to advertise, we're going to move on a very rapid process there to get that done.
Tim, I just want to bring you some of the reaction. We're getting a lot of it today as we have this conversation with you. One email saying, we cannot afford to be funding well-paid squabblers. Limerick staff issues are costing the country's taxpayers dearly. I mean, when you are dealing with public money, you've got to be absolutely cleaner than clean. And you say, that the city manager interviewed a couple of people and then appointed Patricia. It's just not good enough, is it?
Well, but it's precise. By the way, we haven't yet received any of the public money. We're in the process of getting that at the moment.
You are getting it. That's the bottom line.
Yes, absolutely. We're very appreciative of that. But I think that it's precisely because we were trying to make sure that we had the accountability structures and processes in place to make sure that every penny of that 6 million is going to be able to be accounted for. That was a big part of what we were also trying to put in place, in addition to the scale and scope and ambition of the artistic programme.
And what about, could I just ask one question about this? Was she not just naturally fitted into the slot because she'd been on, was it 700 euros a day as an advisor before that? Is that right?
She had been, I don't know the exact amount, but she had been, by the way, her salary now is an awful lot less than that.
Yeah, but was she not paid 700 a day before that?
I don't know the precise amount, Shane, but yes, she was. She had been working as an advisor before that.
Again, and who made that appointment? Who made that appointment?
That would have been the city manager.
Yeah, okay. And she was appointed to a job of 700 a day and then just slipped into this job.
No, there was a process, not a full process that would be the norm, but there was a process. A number of people were interviewed and she emerged. And as I say, she's an absolutely top-class professional.
I think that's the problem, isn't it? That she may well be a very top-class professional, but the manner of her appointment has actually tainted her job and tainted herself, maybe unfairly.
Mr. Joe Goslow, can I bring you in here? Because back in November, Brian Hayes was concerned about this appointment. He said that it's somewhat strange that a post like this could be given without an advertisement and without effectively other people going for the job. What do you make of what's happened?
I don't think anybody has defended the appointment. In fact, Tim O'Connor there hasn't defended it. The county and city manager hasn't defended it. The proper procedures, of course, were that there should have been a public competition. We were appointing a CEO. CEO is the chief executive officer, a person who's going to be overall in charge, and very substantial amounts of public money, 6 million of public money. And even though the money wasn't finalised in the budget, which was on the 15th of October, I would have thought there would have still been time to go through the normal procedures. That didn't happen. And now what has happened is that there has been an unholy mess. What has happened in terms of trying to resolve it, I think, has been good in the sense that it has been public, it has been transparent. From reading the papers, I hear that there was approximately 500 people at the public meeting and the artistic community was there. And everybody agreed that they would reflect on what was said and that they would come back again next week.
Now, those 500 people weren't there to, clap the board on the back and saying, well done, chaps, you're doing a great job.
Absolutely not. But people have to reflect on the situation. And it's an ongoing process, as I understand. And probably the best way of dealing with it is through the local authority, through the public meetings that have taken place at the present time and are due to take place again.
So you're happy that the CEO should remain in that position despite that procedure? The proper procedure not being followed, as you've said.
Well, I don't want to preempt the whatever decision is taken will take place, but there is a procedure now in place which is actually transparent, and that's a public procedure. And I would like to see that it continue in that fashion, because it meant that everybody who was concerned and involved had a voice, and it was RTE were there and all the public media were there. And it would be terrible if we're going to find something that is so important as the inaugural City of Culture, which had a wonderful start on New Year's Eve, was covered by RTE and looked fantastic and sounded fantastic, that it should all fall apart so quickly now. So I would
so
like to
So what's your advice to Tim O'Connor then? I
mean, my advice to Tim O'Connor is for the board not to be making decisions at this point in time, not to be recruiting new artistic directors, not to be making new appointments, but to continue the process and to get agreement in public as to what is the way
but they've
forward.
They've no artistic director for a City of Culture festival running for 12 months. We're in the year it's supposed to be on now. No artistic director.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The next meeting is to take place next week. In the meantime, there should be quite a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and to get an agreed position. If at this point, can we preempt a situation if there is no artistic director, and it was clear from some of the remarks there that there was no great desire that anybody new be appointed, but that the people would be reinstated who were there. I think that unless it's agreed in public, there will be dissatisfaction and that this will tarnish the entire year.
Are you suggesting that Carl Wallace should be brought back in?
No, I'm not making any suggestions other than to say that there was no proper process in the first instance. It shouldn't have been done the way it was. It was. We are left with a situation now which is an unholy mess, but that the people of Limerick have decided on a mechanism to deal with it, which has been through a public consultation with a meeting that's open to everybody, including the community, the artistic and cultural community, and that they should come up with decisions, that there's an opportunity to come up with decisions there.
Tim O'Connor,
if that fails, then I think it's another matter entirely. But I think that is a process that has been initiated and that stands a decent chance of being successful.
Tim, come back in.
Thank you. Thanks, Minister. And I mean, absolutely, the commitment to continue now full public engagement was made last night by Pat Cox, and we're absolutely determined to continue that. And Pat will be continuing his discussions immediately with people on the ground on Monday and Tuesday in Limerick again.
How do you feel about being on the board of an unholy mess?
I'm very committed. I've spent most of my life working in the public service in Dublin and internationally, but I'm from Limerick. I'm speaking to you from West Limerick, from my home place, and I'm very proud to be from Limerick, and I want to make my contribution. I'm doing this on a voluntary basis like all the other members of the board, but I'm doing it because I care about Limerick and to have a chance to do it. So I'm definitely staying. We know that mistakes were made and we got things wrong, but we sat last night and heard very powerful, raw, passionate testimony. We're going to take that on board. We're going to take it on the chin, absorb it and go forward together, continuing, as I say, in close consultation with the people of Limerick as we do so.
Okay, Niamh Lyons, you've been following
this
story as well.
Could I just say before Niamh comes in that I don't think Tim is saying that it should be left then to the board to make the decisions. I don't think it should be. There are two bodies involved.
If the board can't make the decision, the board should resign.
No, we're talking about a process at this point in time. There is the local authority that has been involved, and it was the city and county manager that made the appointment in the first instance. There is also the City of Culture Limited and the board. That is the board that we're talking about. But what a process has been initiated at this point in time, and I think what they should be pursuing is not just a board decision, but a public decision at this point in time that would be agreeable to the people of Limerick.
I think the board is going to get bogged down significantly, perhaps even the entire event, in the shadow of cronyism that's been cast over the whole thing. And there's a number of things that we still don't have answers to in terms of the transparency of the entire process. Everything from how Limerick itself was chosen for this event. You can't escape the fact that it's the constituency of the most high-profile minister in the state, Michael Noonan. Where was the 6 million budget decided and why and how? Was that seen as enough? Was it compared to the types of budgets that other cities would have had? There wasn't enough of a run-in time on this, as we've just heard Tim O'Connor saying. Other cities like Derry, Liverpool have had 18 months to prepare for these kind of things. There's issues also around the idea of, when we first broke the story in the Irish Mail on Sunday about Patricia Ryan and the unease and disquiet about the way she was appointed, you're left now with the situation where Tim has just spoken about all of the good work that Carl Wallace has done. A lot of his events are now in train. That is rolling. Yet the person that the board has confidence in is the very person whose position was given to her in a very, untransparent way. There's no answer to that either.
Okay, Pat and Pat Leahy.
Well, I just what an awful pity for Limerick that the people in charge of this thing have made such a bags of it. Tim mentioned earlier on that rugby matches are not won in the first 10 minutes. No, they tend to be won, as Tim will know, in the months beforehand when teams train and prepare for this. This was announced in the summer of 2012. Yes, yet it wasn't until a couple of months ago that the project got an allocation in the budget. Now, if Jimmy Dinahan was, you know, prepared to make the announcement of this in 2012, how come he couldn't secure a budget allocation a couple of months later in the budget at the end of 2012, which would have enabled the sort of preparations which clearly needed to be going on all last year to make the project run smoothly this year? Instead, it gets a budget allocation a couple of months ago. It appoints a CEO in peculiar circumstances, to say the least, a couple of months ago. And, you know, I think that the people who are in charge of it still have considerable questions to answer about how come it has all been left to the last minute, to leave it in a position where they are now at the start of the year, when the year is already underway, mm-hmm. that it is artistically leaderless.
Okay, Tim, brief word.
Just to say again, Claire, though, and thanks, Pat. Just to say, however, you know, to repeat, a big piece of the programme, a big chunk of the programme is in place. 100 events are lined up for the first quarter alone, starting next week with the world premiere of Riverdance 20, which is completely sold out, six shows sold out, and the Richard Moss exhibition.
But we still don't know the answer to why the person that organised all of those events, Tim, is the person that you don't support. Yeah. Why didn't you throw your weight behind the person who managed to get the most work done on this event so far? Why are you throwing your weight behind Patricia Ryan?
Well, it's
Niamh Lyons
asked that. Hi, it's not a question of. I'm very sorry personally that Carol feels he has had to resign. I'm very sorry about that on a personal basis. I didn't want to see that at all.
But he resigned because he had no support.
Yes, I appreciate what he's saying. So, and that's why I'm back to saying that clearly there are issues here and lessons we're trying to absorb and learn, and that's what
anyway,
we're
going
to do.
Is it possibly reversible? I mean, Tim, is it reversible? It appears quite blatantly obvious the artistic community in Limerick want Mr. Wallace back, and the artistic community in Limerick don't want the board. Is this reversible? Then we see the board resigning, and that we see Mr. Wallace back. Because I've just noticed here in a quote, which I hadn't seen before, which I think seems to me an extraordinary admission by the city manager, Con Murray, who said he personally identified a number of potential candidates, including Ms. Ryan, and engaged with them in confidence. That means everything was done behind closed doors. It means it was done exactly the way that things shouldn't be done. I didn't realise that it was done in quite such secrecy. And really, the answer to this is that those who are responsible for the debacle shouldn't be there. And those who are the victims of it should be there. And I would have thought that the logical solution to this now is to reinstate Mr. Wallace. And then you won't take up so much time appointing a new board. You can do that. That can be done overnight. And you won't have this extraordinary business of having a vacant chair and no artistic director there at all, which is totally unsatisfactory.
Okay, Tim.
When you're starting.
All right, we want to move on from this. But Tim, just very quickly, can you answer that question? Can you get him back?
As far as I know, as of yesterday, Carl had resigned. I mean, and that resignation has now taken effect. So
you can invite him back.
The board has confirmed his resignation and accepted it.
So he's gone, Joe Costello. Well, you're saying
I think the general mood last night was that was the kind of the final sort of senses, and that, you know, is that a lot of regret was. But I think there was a determination to move on.
All right.
Sure,
well, look, we're
going to
move. We're going to move on now too. Tim, you're staying on the board anyway. That's a definite, right?
I am indeed. Okay.
All right. Thanks for taking our call, Tim O'Connor, member of the Limerick City of Culture Board, and we'll just finish this one on a tweet from Donald, who says, "Farce counts as culture, right?"